he's a go-go. Bill Wayne, first on the dial, WNRC.
This portion of Market Scope is brought to you by your radio. Record the stations in your market and send them to Phil. You, too, can show how your community sounds on the Market Scope.
Hi, Xers. Welcome to Market Scope for July 2008. It's more of Charleston, South Carolina, thanks to the audio services Mark Marino.
You think she's got brown eyes? Carrie Underwood. How about if we get you close enough at her concert next month at the Coliseum and you can report back to us? Get registered at
Y1025.com. Y1025 sounds good at work.
You know, not every city in America has its own ocean and waves. If you could be anywhere right now in Charleston, where would you want to go? Let's do it. Y1025. Current American fad. Everything going up, up, up. Gas prices, the cost of a banana. Michael McDonald singing a song called Your Love Keeps Lifting Me Higher and Higher. We're keeping the cost of your favorite songs down. Y1025.
Your love keeps lifting me higher.
It happens good. 80 times a
Why?
Night.
When
no wonder you can't sleep. Mattresses create pressure points.
It really is kind of like having your own private MTV, and you're in control of the videos on demand. Y1025.com.
Don't pour your love out on me, baby. If you do the thing to me, baby, I'll just lay me down right for 100 years.
WEZL.
Is that what she said?
What?
On the interstate thing, they're shuffling them off now, not at Ashley Phosphate, but at 78?
Yeah, yeah. Trident.
Up at the Trident Hospital exit.
Well, Rivers will be fast, won't it, Michael?
Oh, yeah.
How's North Rhett looking right now? That's got to be one of the arteries that's heavy, too.
That's the secret
one. Is that
way.
The secret one?
Absolutely.
Michael's overlooking at the Jan cams now. There's no way to get. Just go back home.
I tell you, if I'm in Somerville, I'm starting to think about coming in the back way through Mount Pleasant down by Mepkin Abbey. About going
through Monk's Corner down
45 miles out of my way. Absolutely.
Yeah, you'd probably make quicker time than the traffic that we just saw sitting on I-26.
You got a comp day today. Today would be a good day to take a comp day.
That traffic's not going anywhere.
I'm feeling your pain, and we're sorry we've got you captive.
Especially on a day where TJ's not here.
Yeah, God, where is he when I need him? 76 today is our high with sunshine. It's 52 degrees right now at WEZL.
I've been sitting here staring at the clock on the wall.
That, I think, is one of the finest country songs I have heard in some time. And I know TJ would take issue with that, but today, my show, not his. Sorry, big boy. In fact, we might just play it the rest of the morning.
Have you seen the video?
It's powerful.
It is. I'll give her credit. I mean, she can really sing the song. But boy, I tell you what, that's just not one of TJ's favorite pieces of
my
music.
My son and I listened to that the other day, and I said, do you realize the strength of that song is one man in a guitar and one woman in her voice?
Yep.
And it is pure, raw emotion. It's fabulous.
And what was his response to that?
He agrees.
Oh, does he?
He agrees, yeah. And then he throws on some rap, and it's... it's not music! I sound like my dad more every day. And it's just brutal. Just brutal. WEZL, sunshine today. Talking about highs in the mid-70s. Sunny right now and 53 degrees on the Weasel with Alan Jackson in a small town southern Maine.
Y105.
1035, The Weasel.
This is WRFQ Mount Pleasant, Charleston.
Q104.5.
Bob and Tom Show.
Hello.
Thanks very much for joining us. With us in the studio, comedian actor Kevin Pollak. You'll recognize Kevin from a lot of great movies like A Few Good Men and The Usual Suspects, which I'm recommending you rent this weekend if you've never seen it.
Hey, Tom, chick was late again.
Probably getting his morning dose of internet porn.
Probably, but now he can check on the roadways while he's downloading naughty bits.
Multitasking is not one of chick's strong points.
Hey, Christy, leave chick a sticky note.
What am I, your secretary?
Yes, tell him to go to keyword traffic at Q1045.com.
Help out the modern men of steel in the MUSC Children's Hospital. This public service announcement from the Bridge 105.5.
And that's that. Back to the music. Quality rock, true variety. The Bridge at 105.5. Broadcasting from Charleston, music for the world. This is 105.5 WCOO, Kiowa Island, Charleston.
Why the hell it means so much to me?
105.5, The Bridge, WCOO.
Hear our broadcast every Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. on your inspiration station, WJNI 106.3.
What you say is what we play. Here's another request just for you from WJNI 106.3.
So important, people of God.
WJNI has good news in the morning, good news in the midday, and good news in the afternoon on 106.3.
WJNI 106.3, new music from Brent Jones and the TP Mob. It's called Cry Holy. Hope you're having a blessed morning. It's about 11 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock. I'm Shatanda Kelly. Welcome to Midday Praise. If you're tuning in for the first time, we have good news in the morning, good news in the afternoon, and good news in the midday. Brother Anthony Baxter wakes you up for 6 a.m. with Furman on WJNI. He's with you until 10 o'clock, that is. I'm on the scene from 10 until 3 during Midday Praise, and Belinda Baxter takes you home in the afternoon inside the Joyride from 3 until 7. On the way, request line music from Darlene McCoy. If there were no you, I'm still practicing. Hey, don't go anywhere. More to come on WJNI 106.3.
It's your most loved traditional music.
Oh, it's in my heart. It's in my heart. Yeah. To serve the Lord.
And your favorite contemporary hit.
If there were no you.
Giving you the best mix of both. We're WJNI 106.3.
If there were no you.
Our inspiration at 106.3. Thanks for listening and believing in the station that believes as you do. With Jesus, nothing's impossible. WJNI, Ladson, North Charleston.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. I know you guys like Market Scope, but you really didn't have to be so complimentary. And thank you, Mark. More Charleston is on the way. If you'd like to send it to Market Scope, send it to me, Phil Wayne, at 313 Spring Street, Upper Sandusky, Ohio, 43351-1652. The DX Audio Service membership would be most appreciative. And now here's Fred with the musings from the members.
Happy 4th of July!
4th of July.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors.
Good. Bless America.
Members may muse by calling the Action Line, 24 hours a day.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. I just came back from Meridian, Mississippi a couple of nights ago. Annual trip down there. They have a wonderful station, 102.1, playing the country classics. They no longer have a sports station there. I wish they still did. Up here, CKKW. Kitchener-Waterloo on 1090. Been an oldies station for a long time. They've applied for a license to go to FM. The hearing was May 27th. I'm still so interested in ultralight DXing, trying to find out what I can about it. Oh, I had a good catch one night, WGRP, I believe it is, now in West Salem, Pennsylvania. They didn't used to stay on at night, but they were on a 940 with the Country Classics, maybe on the way to Pittsburgh, be able to hear them. And I'm looking forward to Pittsburgh and visiting with everybody. Ken Honest, Chuck, I had a very nice letter from, too. I want to acknowledge that, in Lockport, Illinois. I want to add my congratulations to WOKK radio station in Meridian, Mississippi. They've been on the air 50 years now. They're now a country station on FM 97.1. They started on 1450, then 910 on the AM band. And in 1982, 29th of January, they went over to 97.1 FM. They have an affiliation with ABC Radio, and they carry Paul Harvey's news programs, including the rest of the story and things like that. And a friend of mine in Toronto, he's in the club online, picked up WTUG, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I think it's 92.9, and he got it on one of these new radios to do with ultralight DX. And I'm going to want to talk to him more about it, because I'm not sure what time of the day or night that was that he got it, but that's quite the catch. Well, there's been a change in Montreal on the big station on 940. They used to be CBM. They were a CBC station. Then after being off the air for a couple of years, they came back on and pretty well were a news talk station. But now they've gone to a greatest hits format, so we'll see how that goes. And as far as I know, 1050 Chum in Toronto is going to stay an oldies station. Last Friday night, about 8 o'clock, I picked up a station on 1310 that was carrying the Chicago Cubs broadcast, but I didn't get an ID on it. And I know that within proximity of Chicago would be Indianapolis, Traverse City, Michigan, and Madison, Wisconsin. And any of that could be Cub territory, potentially.
Hello, Fred and DXers. This is the one and only Victor speaking to you from the Schmidt House in downtown Silver Spring, Maryland. Today is June 15th. Wayne of Ontario, you got 1300 in Baltimore, not 1310. I want to talk about a couple of skips. The first one was on May 29th, Thursday evening around 7:30, somewhere in there. It lasted about maybe half an hour to 45 minutes. The only station that I could identify was a station at 97.5 in Hot Springs, Arkansas. U.S. Country 97, I think the slogan was. On June 4th, there was a tremendous skip lasting at least a couple of hours, and it was extremely intense for about an hour between 1 and 2 p.m. in the afternoon. I got three stations from Omaha, one at 98.5, 102.7, and 104.5. Thank you, Ernest, for verifying one of the three stations. Faded out when you called me back. I also want to know why. I was told by a fellow DXer who is not a member, but he said, don't bother wasting your time writing or calling FM and TV stations if you pick them up. They're not interested in the least. For example, Fred, if I wrote to you and said that I got Channel 35 on a skip or something, would the management be interested or would they just ignore it? If this is the case, why are FM and TV stations not interested in long-distance reception? Why are they discouraging such reception?
This is Mark Marino from Goose Creek, South Carolina, and I just wanted to add a couple notes about the current market scope. You will hear eventually 100.9 that is going to change format, and the reason you won't hear the change is because it hasn't happened yet. I believe it may happen on July 7th, because now that's when they've said the morning show will come on. Also, 1480 is apparently
going back to English, and I believe tonight I heard they were going to be Charleston's new talk station or something. Right now they're just playing randomly selected music, and you will eventually hear that on the Market Scope. And I will be leaving this area in less than 2 weeks, but I would like to thank Phil for all his hard work in putting together the tapes I sent him, as I was unable to narrate it this time. So I'm looking forward to helping you, everybody out in the future, and I'm looking forward to trying one of them Sonys one of these days. Good DX, everybody.
This is Rusty Curry in Springfield, Oregon. I wonder if Mark Durenberger could give us a rundown on the radios and the antennas that he's using in that band scan from Minnesota to kind of put the thing into context. One thing I noticed, that the 990 station in Winnipeg, I'm not surprised at all that that's coming in, because I rode an Amtrak from Chicago to Portland about 20 years ago, and that 990 station absolutely booms out across North Dakota from Grand Forks out to Minot. And unfortunately, I kind of got sleepy and lost track of it further west than that. So if anyone does know how far that carries out across North Dakota and maybe into Montana, I'd be interested in that. Also, John Bowker's travelogue this last time, if he's got footage of that, of radio from that bridge in Halifax, that would be great too. That's all for now. Good DX, everyone.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. If you'd like to muse, give us a call at area code 360-469-0189. That's 360-469-0189. That's for DX Audio Service members only. Keep it brief and to the point so everyone has a chance to speak. And also be sure that it is relevant to all of us. That is very important. I'm sure that nobody would be too interested in knowing about the 105.9 low power station here in Lima. So you might want to leave off the FM stuff unless it's very relevant or very newsworthy. Speaking of FM and also of TV, Victor Schmidt asked if I would send out a reception report or send out a acknowledgement to somebody who sent a reception report to me for Channel 35. And Victor, you're probably speaking to the exception rather than the norm. I have for a long time had a stack of QSL cards, and they've kind of dwindled down a little bit over the past 20 years or so. But if somebody sends me a reception report, I always send them back a QSL card. In fact, we also send out QSL cards for our auxiliary stations on 450 megahertz. And when we used to have the old IFB station on 26.410 megahertz, we had QSLs that we sent out to people who received that. But a lot of stations, I think they would probably acknowledge it. They don't necessarily go out of their way with QSL cards and other information. But it's also a two-way street, Victor, because to be honest with you, in the past 5 or 6 years, I don't recall ever getting a reception report for any of our stations. So I think people are just not even bothering to send in anything as well. And to some extent, that is also happening on the AM band. As much as we've done CPC tests, and there's been many stations on the air testing, not many people give a listen for those tests and send in reports. So perhaps it's just a sign of the times. Speaking of a sign of the times, as we all know, gas prices are going up, and folks are looking for bargains. You might want to use this forum or this muse as an opportunity to save yourself some money. If you're thinking about going to Pittsburgh for the convention, you might want to just let your wishes be known that you're looking for a roomie or perhaps somebody to split the costs of travel. Maybe if you are in a certain area and some other member is driving through, they could pick you up and you can split the gas costs or something, just to make it a little less vicious on your wallet. But I know that a lot of people are looking for some ways to save money. You might want to leave a muse on the next edition. Keep in mind, this is probably going to be one of the last editions of the musings to the members before the convention, so you might want to think about doing it really soon. Now here's Ken.
Remembering Angel Harvey, the First Lady of Radio. Lynn Harvey died at a River Forest home early Saturday, April 27th, after a year-long battle with leukemia. Lynn, whom husband Paul called Angel, recognized her industry throughout it as the First Lady of Radio, was one of the first great broadcasting figures of the past century and first producer ever inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. A director, writer, and editor, she was the creative and administrative heartbeat behind the number one rated Paul Harvey News and Comment, which reaches tens of millions of listeners. Her guidance and ingenuity helped shape many radio and television formats widely used today, such as the concept of news features within hard news broadcasts and the humorous kicker, which became a Paul Harvey trademark In the late 1940s, she suggested that her husband's news program be broadcast at 10 p.m. to take advantage of audiences' leisure time and thus gain a larger audience. That time slot soon became the national broadcasting standard for radio and TV news programs. Lynn also developed and edited Harvey's best-known features, The Rest of the Story. A pioneer in women's broadcasting, she created and produced Dilemma, a TV program which became a prototype for today's talk show genre. Also a groundbreaking syndicated television news feature that ran 5 days a week for 20 consecutive years. The Harveys met in St. Louis, her hometown at KXOK, 630, now KJSL, where Paul worked as a special events director and Lynn, a graduate of Washington University, began her radio career reporting on educational topics. After their marriage in 1940, they began their professional partnership with Paul in the broadcasting booth and Lynn handling behind-the-scenes responsibilities. During World War II, Paul volunteered for the Army Air Force's Air Cadets and Lynn moved to Tulsa, Paul's hometown. Working at a CBS station, she became one of the nation's first women to run an entire broadcast from 4 p.m. to midnight, 5 days a week, doing everything from announcing state and local news to playing records. Wow! After the war, the Harveys moved to Chicago, and radio station WENR, their Paul Harvey News, quickly grabbed the number one Chicago news rating slot. In 1951, ABC carried the program nationally, beginning its long run as America's favorite radio news program. It was in 1968 that Lynn decided to create a TV version of Paul Harvey Comments, which she syndicated on 100 stations across the country, and it ran from 1966 to 1988. Besides her considerable role in broadcasting, Lynn was active in community and philanthropic endeavors and serving on numerous charitable boards, etc., that they list here too many to mention. She was also an enthusiastic contributor to various animal welfare groups. A dedicated alumna, Lynn was also a life member of Washington University's William Greenleaf Elliott Society and involved in the development of the university's American Culture Studies Program on Arts and Sciences. She is survivors include her husband Paul, who will turn 90 in September, and Paul Jr. Next, I found a good Chicago Tribune article back in March by Phil Rosenthal that I want you to know about. You know who has benefited mostly from the costly air war between Sirius Satellite Radio and rival subscription service XM Satellite Radio? It's not the listeners. Howard Stern got a 5-year deal worth more than $500 million to give Sirius an identity. Oprah Winfrey got a $55 million 3-year deal to deliver an XM channel. And Martha Stewart's 4-year deal with Sirius is said to pay her $30 million plus a cut of the ad money. Major League Baseball got an 11-year, $650 million deal with XM. The NFL's 7-year contract with Sirius pays $220 million. Without dueling pay radio services, who will bid up these prices? The only way a satellite radio outfit pays more than $20,000 for a September game between Tampa Bay and Toronto that's also available on Major League Baseball's website is if it's trying to differentiate itself from a competitor. Both Sirius and XM have music channels. They both have news. It's the proprietary stuff that makes a difference. Take away all the competition for that, and guess whose price deflates? Sorry, Oprah and Howard. It's talent agents who ought to be protesting this merger.
Instead, the National Association of Broadcasters is lobbying hard, saying that eliminating competition would be bad for the public. The NAB had no such problems when it came to radio consolidation 12 years ago, which makes one suspicious the real motive is sole concern over a potential competitor. But the homogenization of broadcast radio by station groups dumping local talent in favor of syndicated fare has done more harm to broadcasters than satellite radio ever will. Satellite radio alone isn't the threat to broadcasters. It's satellite radio and iPods and the internet and phones and whatever new technology comes along to do what broadcasters alone did for decades. Broadcasters' big answer to this new competition has been HD radio. Own an HD radio receiver? Know anybody who's got one? After the Justice Department signed off recently on the proposed SiriusXM merger, leaving the FCC as the last regulatory roadblock, Senator Byron Dorgan of North Dakota warned, the American consumer will pay the price. This columnist says, I'm an American consumer who already subscribes to satellite radio. I already pay, and that I can't get everything I want from one service. The two services, which utilize non-compatible receivers, each have long-term exclusive deals with car makers. Daimler Chrysler, for example, invested $100 million in Sirius 8 years ago, and that's what it offers in its cars. I bought a car a couple years ago that had XM in it, so I subscribed to that. If my new car had been equipped with Sirius, I probably would have subscribed to them. Neither service offers everything that I want, and if my car didn't have satellite radio, I very likely would have done without it. If family finances tighten up, I still might do without it. Don't get me wrong. Satellite radio is nice, especially in long drives that used to require scanning the dial every 100 miles or so to pick up stations in range, like us DXers do. But there's nothing on there anyone absolutely has to have. Should subscription prices shoot up, I'm more committed to making sure my kids have shoes that fit, which is a concern those of us without our own satellite radio channels still have. And I'll finish up here with the WNBA. Women's National Basketball Association radio stations that I've got from the internet. The Connecticut Sun out of Uncasville on the internet only. Global TV on WCTX. The Detroit Shock on 1310 WDTW. The Chicago Sky 1690 WVON. And local TV channel 23 WWME. The Atlanta Dream on 1230 WFOM Marietta and 1340 WALR with Art Ekman. The Indiana Fever out of Indianapolis, 1070 WFNI with Chris Denari. The New York Liberty on Madison Square Garden cable only. The Washington Mystics have no radio. The Houston Comets on Salem News Talk 1070 KNTH with Craig Ackerman. Los Angeles Sparks on 1150 KTLK Larry Burnett. The Minnesota Lynx, Minneapolis 106.1 KLCI with Marnie Gellner. Phoenix Mercury, no radio. San Antonio Silver Stars 760 KTKR. Sacramento Monarchs 1140 KHTK Jim Cosimore and Krista Blunk. And the Seattle Storm on 1150 KKNW with Dick Fain and Adia Barnes. And to finish up, I want to pass along two deaths. Otha Bates, better known as Bo Diddley, died June 1st at 79. And Hugh Jarrett, bass singer of the Jordanaires way back, died in Mary, Atlanta at the age of 78. And for the DX Audio Service, thanks for listening. Take it away, Fred.
Thanks, Ken. An RNZI documentary looks back at 50 years of radio in the Pacific. It was 50 years ago that the last of the baby boomers was born, and Radio New Zealand was still in its infancy in most parts of the Pacific. Australia and New Zealand had a combined population of about 12.3 million people and shared only 2.6 million radio receivers amongst them. The ABC was about to end experimental FM broadcasts in the main centers, and the only FM station in the entire Pacific region was KAIM-FM in Honolulu, Hawaii. The most powerful island shortwave radio station was Radio Tahiti, serving 75,000 local listeners in the year that Charles de Gaulle became French president and Sputnik 1 fell to Earth. Shortwave broadcasting was also the only form of radio in the Cook Islands, New Caledonia, and Dutch New Guinea. In Western Samoa, 2AP was celebrating its 10th anniversary. No stations broadcast in Tonga, and only a few hours daily came from stations in the Gilbert and Lease Islands and also the British Solomon Islands. U.S. Armed Forces radio stations left over from World War II were still on the air on the islands like Midway and Johnson, and the relative new Fuji Broadcasting Commission was still using shortwave radio from VRH4 Suva. Now a Kiwi radio program will take you back to those early days in radio history. Dave Rickwish of the Radio Heritage Foundation takes listeners back to the world of Pacific radio 50 years ago in 1958. Visit www.rnzi.com for shortwave frequencies and times, and to download an audio version of the program that remains available online for 3 weeks. More information can be found at radioinfo.com.au. Has broadcast band DXing kind of lost its zip? Yeah, I know. It's that time of the season when you have the thunderstorms, and of course, nighttime doesn't come around until 9 or even 10 o'clock at night. So, what can you do? Well, how about turning to the shortwave dial and listening for ARG. Pirates. Yes, indeed, those pirate radio stations are on the air. In a recent publication that I read on the internet, it seems like most of the pirate radio stations are hanging out on a frequency of 6.925 megahertz, some of them in the AM band, some of them with upper sideband. For example, a radio station was noted, a pirate station called Northwoods Radio, seems to be from Upper Michigan, as far as we can determine, as well as Real Pirate Radio, Sicko Radio. Then there's also the Crystal Ship, WBNY, Bunny Radio, some unidentified radio stations, and believe it or not, some of these stations, QSL. So if you turn on your radio and actually listen to 6.925 or 6.955 upper sideband, what do you hear? Well, perhaps something like this.
This is Morania calling. This is Morania calling. On the 6,000 Trail, a program dedicated to the 6,000-pound spaghetti harvest. This year, for the first time in Morania's history, a predicted 6,000-pound spaghetti harvest. For details, we switch you to the spaghetti capital of Morania, Spaghetti City.
Now ask yourself, where else can you hear the country of Morania? There's also some music stations, such as WNKR.
WNKR, moving into the 21st century.
Oh, yes. That's David Bowie. And a classic track there, Soul Love.
WNKR.
Right. Bit of Ronnie Lane now. Track called The Poacher from 1974.
probably made number 36 in the charts or something ridiculous, so it says on the information anyway. If you're old enough to remember this, you probably forgot all about it, but now it's playing, you'll remember it straight away. And did that make any sense?
I went to
WNKR, the power station.
Another frequency where we found some pirate activity is at the bottom of the 80-meter amateur radio band. At 3420 on the dial in the AM mode, we found this radio station.
Back on the air on 3420 AM. And thanks, everybody, for checking in. Dimbulb, Chuck Sayers, Cosmic Debris, glad you're able to hear us. And everybody else checking in, we're glad that you're able to hear us tonight. And I'm going to continue broadcasting for a while on 3420. This is Dr. Ben Wayne. You're listening to Undercover Radio, Pirate Radio, broadcasting from the middle of nowhere. And if you'd like to feel yourself, do send an email to undercoverradio@gmail.com. That's undercoverradio@gmail.com. I do prefer the Gmail address. I will do just fine. And with that, I will get back into the programming of Undercover Radio. Thanks for tuning in.
And here's a suggestion to those of you that like to write music but can't get a radio station to play your music. Well, just start your own station. Here's Ann Hoffer Radio. So when the AM band is getting you down, too much noise and static, perhaps the FM stations in town are playing the same old 100 songs, switch on the shortwave dial. Maybe even use one of those ultralight radios. Check out the frequencies around 6925 and see if you can find... ARG. Pirate stations. And it's time now to take a look at the DXers Notebook, written by David White of 5701 Chestnut Trail, Hermitage, Tennessee, 37076-3288. And Dave writes the following. The rules of the DX game have sure changed since I started playing it. Back then, in the mid-60s, most stations were locally owned and programmed, and most took the concept of serving the public interest to mean being actively involved in the community. What that meant for us DXers was that it was a lot easier to identify a station than it is now. When there are live announcers who recite call letters and or station slogans virtually every time they open their mouths, with frequent mentions of the local community's name, the main challenges were propagation, interference, and noise. Of course, it's much different in the world today. On top of propagation, interference, and noise, it isn't unusual for several stations on the same frequency to program the same syndicated or network programming, and to only identify themselves as a legal necessity somewhere close to the top of each hour. If we're lucky, we might hear a snatch of a local commercial that mentions a city or a county, but that usually gets us from an un-ID to a tentative or presumed at best. In an era when stations seem to change formats about as often as most of us change socks, it's becoming even more difficult to use formats as a clue to an unknown station's identity. To be sure, the AM radio log is an essential resource, especially in concert with the equally essential updates found in the DX News Magazine and DX Audio Service's AM Switch. But the harsh reality is that any printed reference is completely up to date only once, at the moment that it is printed. Here's a list of some internet resources that I routinely use to augment the printed guides to help identify my mystery stations. 100,000 watts, that is www.10000watts.com. This is a subscription service, but the homepage is a great resource for format change information. This is where I discovered that KBGG in Des Moines had switched from regional Mexican to sports when I was trying to ID my mystery station on 1700. Radio Locator, www.radio-locator.com. This comprehensive database lets you search by format, location, call sign, state, or province. This is also a good place to determine if a station has a website and/or a live stream that can help you confirm the catch. Radio Station World, www.radiostationworld.com, all one word. This site's database has an advanced search engine that gives you the option to query by keyword, call sign, or frequency, either exact or approximate, which is useful if your radio does not have a digital readout. Radio and Records, that's R&R. www.radioandrecords, all one word, .com. Ratings for each market list each station's format and any changes in format since the last rating period. Google, well, that's www.google.com. There are several ways that you can make use of Google or any of the other major search engines to aid your DX detective work. Use the station's call sign, if you know it, as the search string. This is the quickest way to see if the station has a website. If you don't know the call sign, try using the station's slogan and frequency as the search string. If you have heard an announcer or newscaster's name, include that in the search string too. Use the name of an advertiser or organization that you heard as the search string. This is how I recently identified WQLR in Kalamazoo, one of the four stations on 1660 that carry ESPN Sports. FCC's Media Bureau, the AM query. This is a long URL, http://www.fcc.gov/mb/audio/amq.html. A comprehensive tool for complete information about a station's license, especially useful if you need an address to send a verification request. This is the FCC's own database. These are the internet resources that I found most useful. You may have others, and I urge you to pass them along so we can share them here. And that article was entitled DXer's Notebook, written by David White of Hermitage, Tennessee. Finally, before we get out of here, I thought we'd do a very, very quick contest. Are you ready? Okay. The prize will be two free issues of the DX Audio Service. Here's the rules. You have to be a National Radio Club DX Audio Service member to play. You have to have your entry to me no later than 6 p.m. on the 18th of July. Here's the way the contest works. We're going to play some Keener Fun. I'm going to give you 10 songs. You just need to tell me the title of the song and the artist.
WKNR.
WKNR.
Makes the weekend sing swizzle.
One.
Joey asked me for a thing.
Occupation. Matter of fact,
neither do I. WKNR.
Plays Keener Hip Number.
That's all you get. So let's see your answers. We'll tell you who the winner is and give you the answers on our next edition of the DX Audio Service. Until then, get out and support radio.
WKNR Keener.